Blitz, KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE Factory Approved Warehouse Outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776.
It only took me 1 hour to eat my dinner.
Really? I got mine done 1 hour. 40 minutes.
So. I might eat dessert, though. I don't know.
Oh, really?
I couldn't eat dessert 2 weeks ago here.
That's true. You might as well take advantage.
I hadn't eaten dessert in like 6 weeks when I was here 2 weeks ago, so dessert may be in the works.
Well, if you want to get in, you know the number. You can text the show is the best way to do it. You can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. You can get us via Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Degenerates 975, and at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O. We're out here at Saltgrass Steakhouse in Sugarland, in case you were wondering where the great food was. And we're just off 59 South by Grand Parkway. Early dinner specials for another hour, so you can come out and get those. Happy hour until 7, so come get happy.
This is the earliest I ever eat dinner, too.
Yeah, I'm with you. I usually don't until like 8 o'clock at night or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, very strange to eat this early in the day. I feel like a really old person.
No, you're getting there.
But then you don't eat dinner early either, and you're a really old person. That's
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, well, that's I try not to act old. I just try to
right.
be ridiculous.
You like hold out as long as you can to eat dinner so you feel like you're young at heart.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I feel that.
Yeah, I know I'm not. I know I'm hideous and old and grotesque, but I'm going to pretend like I'm not.
Fair enough.
It's you fool yourself into these things, AJ. A lot of people not getting the Longhorns number two thing. It's a bit. You'll have to just stick with it.
It's an inside joke. You missed it.
And if you missed the show that day,
maybe you should ask your friends.
Yeah, somebody will tell you. All right, let's go through all the NFL games from yesterday.
Yes.
And some surprises and some not so surprising. And we will start off with your Buffalo Bills.
The lowly Buffalo Bills.
Avoided 0-3. How about that?
Absolutely housed the Cardinals. Didn't see that coming.
No. I don't think the Bills saw that coming.
I don't think the Cardinals saw it coming either.
The Cardinals sure didn't see it coming. But that was a that was what we affectionately call a tail whipping. Is what that was. And the Cardinals, who normally don't give up anything on the ground, just got run all over by a team that hasn't been able to run all year.
Yeah.
So suddenly LeSean McCoy got right. Tyrod Taylor had a big touchdown run. I mean, it was just a really impressive performance. And the defense looked good, too. I mean, they scored a touchdown defensively. They took away everything the Cardinals had.
Really a must-win for the Bills, and they managed to get it done. Raiders go in and beat the Titans 17-10.
The Raiders.
And I was kind of kicking myself because this was the other game I was going to play. I was going to take the Raiders. Chickened out. But it wasn't an easy win. But.
Yeah, the Raiders were one of the last cuts from my card, and I regretted it too. Man, the more I watch Derek Carr, the more it makes me so angry that he's not a Texan and Xavier Suofilo is. I mean, that guy is just – he is blossoming, I'm telling you. And
well, more importantly, they got a good defensive performance, which is what
they were due.
They needed because their defense has been garbage here over the first 3 weeks. Redskins beat the Giants in a wild one, and I think that's one the Giants are going to wish they had back because that's a game that they really should have won. But the Redskins pull it out, and they avoid going 0-3.
Yeah, Redskins plus 4.5 was one of my better plays this week. And that game had me not sweating to sweating to not sweating to sweating to all the way to the end.
And that's the NFL, man.
Yeah, that's it.
We talked a little bit first hour, Dolphins beating the Browns in overtime 30-24.
Shame.
These are just two really bad football teams. And
I'll say this. Maybe the best player on the field yesterday, Terrell Pryor.
Terrell Pryor, yeah.
And I'll be honest, maybe Terrell Pryor should be quarterbacking that team. They should maybe consider that. I mean, with everything that's going on, that guy...
Get the ball in his hands more.
If he's got the ball in his hands, he's a weapon. That may be their best bet.
Ravens beat the Jaguars in 1917. Ravens do what they do, which is find ways to win close games. Jaguars do what they do, which is find ways to lose every game. And the penalty on the field goal right before the half, I wound up being the difference.
Yeah, and the Ravens tried their best to give that thing away. I mean, they fumble away a kickoff. They, you know, it was just a bunch of weird stuff happening. There's a kickoff return taken back on them. It was just,
yeah.
It looked like the gods are aligning to beat this team, but they have the best kicker in the whole wide world. Joe Flacco, who normally in really clutch situations is a boss, gets out there twice and throws interceptions on what could have been game-winning drives.
Yeah.
And they messed up, gave him a third chance. They got down into range, and Justin Tucker is, I'm telling you, that dude is the best. He's automatic.
But and right before the half, he missed a 57-yarder, but they had a penalty for a guy climbing on someone's back, mm-hmm. So they got a 15-yarder, and he's not going to miss the second one. And when you lose by 2 points,
that's what those you get.
Points before the half there will get you every time. The Packers and Lions.
I like the "are you not entertained" at the end, too.
Yeah.
Like when a kicker is doing that to you.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Oh, Jags fans should be
humiliated.
Well,
you know you're a Jaguar when that happens. So, actually, we just booked our trip. We're going to go see the Texans play the Jaguars.
Are you really?
This year. Yeah. We wanted to go someplace where we could get tickets easily.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
I was going to say, like, that's like the worst road trip you can make as a Texans fan.
We wanted to go to a game, and it's like, you know what? I know I can get tickets for Jacksonville. So
no doubt. No doubt.
And they probably will win, so there's that. But Packers-Lions, if you watch the first half of this game, and really – up to 31-3.
It looked like the old Packers.
Yeah, it looked like the old Packers, and it looked like the usual Lions, and you're just like, oh, this is just going to be a blowout. And the Lions come back and score in a hurry, and next thing you know, they made it a little tight in the fourth quarter. And, yeah, if you'd bet the Packers at -7.5, you were feeling really good about life.
And then you weren't.
No.
then you're feeling really – you're wondering why no one is guarding Marvin Jones. And
yeah.
6 receptions, 205 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That's quality.
Yeah. That's making the most of your opportunity.
That's not Calvin Johnson, mind you.
But
that's,
I'm sure Pro Football Focus will give him a 4.
Yeah, he probably had a poor rating.
Yeah. Broncos go in and beat the Bengals, and this is a game that it surprised me a little bit because, frankly, I thought for Trevor Siemian going into a tough environment for the first time on the road, that he would struggle, and he didn't. He might have been his best game, frankly.
Not only did he not struggle, because they know. I mean, listen, it's tough to run against the Bengals, so they just basically said, "We're not going to try. We're going to make you win this game, Trevor Siemian." Which is, like you said, your first road game, tough road game, and they basically put the game plan on your shoulders. Really good performance by Siemian, and that's it.
And the defense was outstanding.
Oh,
again,
of course,
as always.
They were.
And I got to give the Broncos credit. I was expecting a sort of regression this year, and I'm not seeing any of it. If anything, they look better.
No, they're good.
Vikings beat the Panthers 22-10.
Vikings also good. And the Vikings and the Broncos are basically the same story.
Yep.
If you can play good defense, you're going to win games. Even if your offense is a total mess, which not that the Broncos were a total mess yesterday, the Vikings offensively are a total mess. Doesn't matter. When you're sacking Cam Newton 8 times and making him throw 3 interceptions, doesn't matter what your offense does. I mean, it doesn't have to be good because you're always in good field position. You always have opportunities, and the Vikings took advantage of them. They got a safety. They got a bunch of field goals. They did the things that you need to do when you're turning the ball or turning the guy over, and the Panthers just had no answer. They couldn't figure it out.
What the hell is Cam Newton wearing after the game? That's what I want.
Cam Newton, when you have 3 interceptions and 8 sacks, dude, come out in a suit. Come out in a sweatshirt. Like, anything but that. Anything but looking like you drew the card that you have to pay a poor tax on Monopoly. That's what it looked like. It's just a ridiculous look. I don't get it. These guys with their fashion. When you're trying to be like a fashion trendsetter guy after you just got your butt handed to you, it's a bad look to me.
The Bucks, who I thought would handle the Rams pretty easily, wind up losing 37-32.
The Rams would be 3-0 had they not lost to the 49ers. But let that sink in for a second.
Well, and the thing is, they got drilled by the 49ers. They weren't even in the game.
How does that happen?
I have no clue.
Meanwhile, the Bucs, who everyone was high on in the offseason, start out 1-2 and just don't even really look that good. Jameis Winston had a bunch of yards, but mostly because they were playing from behind all day. And I mean, he had a good day. Don't get me wrong, but the Bucs, they couldn't stop the run. Todd Gurley finally had a day.
Yeah,
you know, the Rams couldn't score a touchdown this season, and finally they break out and score 37.
How'd that under work out for us?
Did not. I mean, they scored a touchdown maybe 3 minutes into the game. I said, oh, you're kidding.
Here you go, yeah.
And same with the Seahawks. Seahawks scored a touchdown, I think, less than a minute into the game.
Yeah, and just kept scoring.
Yeah, did not stop.
And, of course, they beat the 49ers 37-18. And that game,
they've got to get – listen, it's fine and dandy to beat up on the 49ers when your quarterback's hurt. But if they don't get Russell Wilson right, that team is not going to go very far.
No, they're not. And frankly, the 49ers made that game look close with a couple of late touchdowns. It was not 37-18. It was a butt-whipping. And they probably – the 49ers are pretty much what we thought they were, which is just a bad football team that's not going to do anything this year. All right. We've got a few left, but we'll get one more in before we go to break. Chiefs 24 – Jets 3, Ryan Fitzpatrick, fail, and then three more of those. Yeah.
I had the Chiefs defense in one of my fantasy leagues.
Oh, goodness.
Basically automatic. And I've got to say, I'll keep bragging on him until he's not good. The Texans passing on Marcus Peters was a grave mistake. And whatever you think about that guy, they thought maybe he was a locker room problem. He hasn't been that in Kansas City. And through this stage of his career, has doubled the interceptions that Deion Sanders or Darrell Revis had at this point. He is a ball hawk. And he floats around. Wherever your best guy is, that's where he's going to go. And you know these quarterbacks love to force it to their great receivers. And Marcus Peters makes them pay. He's just so good. That Chiefs defense is legit. It's really impressive what the Texans were able to do, that winning that game. Like, when you watch the Chiefs play, you're like, man, this is a really good team. They just shut the Chiefs offense down. That win is going to look better and better as the season goes on for the Texans, because the Chiefs are pretty good.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has been good, 20 of 44, 188. Think about that, 188 yards on 44 attempts.
Dude, that's bad.
No touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
I also...
A total quarterback rating of 5.0, by the way.
I mean, if you're a quarterback, once you throw about your 4th interception, you kind of hope the coach pulls you. You know, it's just not your day. Let
Geno do this.
Let me grab my ball cap and watch Geno take care of this thing. Let him finish off this L.
Let him go out and throw 4 more.
Man, it's like a starting pitcher giving up 8 runs in the first, and they make him pitch 6 innings.
Yeah,
it's just brutal to watch. And you know, like Ryan Fitzpatrick, he knew it was all his fault that this was happening. There's nothing he could do about it.
I think I remember Tony Romo throwing 6 against the Bills on a Monday night and still winning the game.
Well, listen, you can't play the Bills every week, okay?
I could be wrong about that. I'm sure a Cowboy fan can tell me. But otherwise, you throw 6 interceptions, it's going to be ugly, and that's what that was. And I do think the Chiefs are a very good football team. I think they're better than what they showed against the Texans. And we saw that yesterday. And I don't think it means the Jets are dead by any stretch. I mean, your quarterback comes out and throws 6 interceptions, you don't have a chance to win the game. And that's anybody. Any team in the league, you throw 6, you're going to lose. All right, guys. We'll finish off the games here when we come back. But right now, I got to tell you about Houston Can Academies. And this is just a great, great place. And, guys, we're in desperation time now because school started again. They really need your help. And what this is, Houston Can Academies is schools that they take in kids who've dropped out at other places. And for whatever reason, some of them got jobs to support their families. And there's dozens of reasons why these kids dropped out. And they're good kids. And they give them a second chance. And so many of them take advantage of that. And then go on and do great things in the community, and you can help. That's the best part about it. You can help change your community by helping these kids. All you have to do is donate a vehicle you're not using anymore. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. Doesn't matter if it's a truck or a car or a forklift or a four-wheeler or a boat. if it's something that's been sitting there in your yard or in your garage, you'd be thinking, man, I need to do something with this. I was going to fix it up, but I don't have time. We'll donate it, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to get a tax deductible. Your donation is going to be tax deductible. So at the end of the year when you're doing those taxes, man, that's going to look great. They're going to come tow that vehicle free of charge. They're going to fill out all the paperwork for you. They make it so easy, and they'll come anywhere. If you can hear my voice on the radio, they'll come tow the vehicle. You know, even over in Lake Charles, they'll come get it. And if you donate today, you're getting a $50 Visa gift card. If you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, it's their way of saying thank you. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Saltgrass Steakhouse. And you know the food's fantastic there when they're arguing over which dessert is the best.
I know.
That's always a good sign. All right, we're going to finish off with the afternoon games that we didn't hit, plus the game last night. Chargers-Colts. Colts win at 26-22. And Chargers really looked like they had this game up until the end. And finally, Andrew Luck comes up with a drive late in the game, which is something that last couple of years he hasn't done a lot of, but the first couple of years of his career, that was a commonplace. Colts get a much-needed win. They get to 1-2 and avoid the 0-3 start.
Yeah, you thought the Chargers looked better throughout the game? I thought that the Chargers looked like they were going to steal it late.
No, I thought they looked like they had that game under control until the fourth quarter, especially right at the half when they came back and got back in the game. I thought they were the better team in the third quarter, and they didn't capitalize. And I thought and that's almost exactly what I expected when you don't have control of a game when you should have taken it and you give the Colts enough chances, they're going to beat you, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I felt like I was actually disappointed the game was as close as it was. The Colts jumped out to an early lead and looked like they were just going to boat race them. And, I mean, the same old. They're horrible defensively.
Right.
Their offensive line, I mean, it's almost sad. It's hard to feel bad for a guy who's making as much money as Andrew Luck and for who has, you know, as many physical gifts as Andrew Luck does. But when you see a quarterback drop back like 8 times in a row and he gets knocked down every time, you say, man, just imagine what this kid could do. And it really does take work to make that offense run. And he was able to finally find T.Y. Hilton, because otherwise it's Andrew Luck taking 3 steps back and then having to let go of the ball immediately because someone's grabbing onto him.
But they were able to get T.Y. Hilton open, and Frank Gore actually had a decent game running the football.
Which you should against the Chargers every time you play them, by the way.
Yeah, and
the Chargers couldn't run the ball.
No.
The Chargers have run the ball, I mean, better than anybody this season.
Melvin Gordon was back to looking like Melvin Gordon.
He looked like last year's Melvin Gordon.
He looks like the Melvin Gordon that he really is, not the guy we've seen the first couple of weeks.
And you should, I mean, if you can't show up to Indianapolis, you just expect we're going to run all over these dudes. They had, I think at halftime, they had 2 yards of rushing.
Yeah.
And they finished with 37. I mean, just a really abysmal performance by the Chargers run game.
Yeah, and Phillip Rivers had a good game, but in the end, I think the team that was supposed to win won, but I think the Chargers are going to kick themselves because they had a chance to win that game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I think maybe the most interesting
Colts
game,
had to win that, by the way. I mean,
they can't go 0-3. They would have been in real trouble then. But the only thing that surprised me as much was maybe the way the Bills did the Cardinals, but the way the Eagles beat the Steelers yesterday.
Oh, my.
34-3. Carson Wentz was incredible again. And the one thing that surprised me was how well they played on defense, because the one thing I was saying before that game when I was talking about the over, and I put all 3 of those in a teaser, so I missed 2 of the 3, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I missed all 3 of them. I should have gone the reverse teaser. But now the Philadelphia secondary has not been that great this year, And that was the one thing I was concerned about. Well, you would think that means Antonio Brown feasts and Ben Roethlisberger feasts.
Antonio Brown did kind of feast.
He had a nice game.
But he just didn't find the end zone.
No, but he also had a lot of yards when they were chasing, when they were way down.
Yeah.
And they did a good job, but they were hitting him pretty hard, too, after the catches.
I think more importantly, just like the Chargers, the Steelers couldn't run the ball.
No.
And they looked so great the first 2 weeks because they were running the ball all over the place, and that opens everything up.
And if you're one of those guys who D'Angelo Williams has beaten you the first 2 weeks in fantasy and you didn't get to play him this week,
you're frustrated.
You're
probably
very frustrated, yeah.
10 carries, 29 yards for the Steelers.
As a team, yeah. And that includes Roethlisberger running with one.
Yeah.
And now, to be fair, you get that far down, you're not going to be doing a hell of a lot of running.
Yeah.
And that third quarter, Philadelphia just took command.
Okay, you say that, but Fred, I mean, the game was still in question up until shortly after halftime. I mean, you should have more than 10 carries at the end of the night in an NFL football game.
You should, except they didn't have that many possessions early on, and I think that was part of it. They
were short possessions because they didn't run the ball.
Yeah, well, and honestly, going in, I would have tried to take advantage of that secondary, too. I would have thought that would have been your game plan. You've got good enough receivers to do it. You've got Roethlisberger. He did not have a great game. He got picked off, and he got sacked four times. And, Carson Wentz looks poised, man. This guy just – and it's game three, so I'm not going to get too excited yet because there's a lot that can happen. And, yeah, I don't know. I keep saying once teams adjust to him, they're getting enough film on him now, they should be able to know what he's doing. But Doug Peterson's done a real nice job with this kid. And, yeah, he was making good decisions. He got rid of the ball well. They're protecting him on that offensive line, which is a big thing. And, I did not see that one coming, but – nice win for the Eagles.
And by the way, if you're invested in the Eagles backfield for fantasy purposes, thoughts and prayers, because that's one of those that I think every week you never know who's going to touch the ball.
Well,
and Ryan Matthews got two carries. He's got a banged up ankle, and guys like Smallwood who are coming out and having big games. Darren Sproles had like a billion receiving yards.
He had that 73-yard touchdown. That'll help you every time.
Yeah, you don't know who's going to get the ball week to week.
That looks good. What'd you get?
Strawberry cheesecake.
All right, and finally, Cowboys and Bears last night. And I don't think too big of a surprise considering how bad the Bears have been, but the Cowboys take care of business. Another efficient, if not, not spectacular, but efficient game for Dak Prescott. And Zeke Elliott finally looked like somebody who should have gone fourth overall in the draft. 30 carries. And
yeah.
They leaned heavily on him.
I'm still not sold on Dak Prescott. Everyone is in love with that guy. I'm watching and I go, okay. I mean, they're literally asking him to do almost nothing. And
they're asking him to be Alex Smith is what they're asking.
Kind of.
And he's doing it. I mean, he's not.
And granted, a lot of this is just fans, and a lot of it is overzealous broadcasters like Collinsworth who they show a picture of Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott on the sideline and start talking about Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith, which is just absurd.
That's why I mute the TV as soon
but
as
if,
Collinsworth
if you've
comes
watched,
on.
If you've watched Dak Prescott play for three games and you really think his upside is even close to Tony Romo, I don't really trust your eyesight. I'm seeing a guy that they're treating with baby gloves. And maybe, again, this has always been the caveat with Dak. 2-3 years from now, maybe he can develop into something.
Yeah, and I think he will, actually. But
right now, I just think he looks like a place filler.
It's silly. If you bring Tony Romo back and you run the ball that well with Romo back, then that team is going to be terrific. I know everybody loves this kid, but to me, every game they win without Romo is a bonus.
Yeah.
And that was a good win for him last night. And that's the kind of game that if they can get ahead and run the football and ask him to be Alex Smith, they're going to win football games with him at quarterback. It's when they get down to somebody, and their schedule's easy enough where that shouldn't happen, but it's when they get down is when they're going to have problems. And then you're going to ask him to go out there and throw the ball all over the yard. Well, I know Tony Romo can do that. I've seen Tony Romo do that. Seen Tony Romo win games in the fourth quarter. I don't know what this kid can win a game in the fourth quarter if his team's down. We'll see. All right.
I needed that last touchdown from the Bears, plus 7.5.
Yeah.
You know, we play in that pool where you've got to get five right
Yeah.
And it was nobody's gotten five right all season long.
I got off to a great start last week, 3-0, and then 0-2 in the NFL.
Yeah.
And this week, I actually missed a college game for the first time this year.
I would have won this week if it weren't for the Bears last night. I needed them to score. I had plus 7.5. I needed that last touchdown would have done it for me. And I hate Brian Hoyer.
Oh, well. What can
so
you...
it rolls over to another week.
All right. That is your NFL breakdown of all the games. And we'll talk a little more NFL when Stanford Rout joins us next segment.
I don't know. Is this from our waitress?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm just like, what? Is the thing with Prescott is the media monopolizes on the loss of his mother and that he still text messages his dead mother every night before the game, which, by the way, I think is super weird.
Yeah, that's freaky.
I mean, you guys can think it's really sweet or whatever all you want. Like, once I die, I hope my kids don't text message me because I'm not going to see that.
Well, and not only that, I'm not going to have a phone anymore because why do you need it?
Yeah, how about this? When I die, cancel my cell phone service. Quit paying that bill because that's dumb.
I don't.
That's like the commercial. Have you seen the commercial where Larry Fitzgerald calls and leaves a message on his mom's answering machine who died that he graduated college? Then I'm thinking, A, who still has a landline with an answering machine at home? And B, I mean, if that's the case, has Larry not cleaned out his dead mom's house? Just leave it like the phone's still on, got the answering machine there, and who listens to that message? It's weird to me, talking to dead parents. I don't get it.
Well, if you want to talk to them, shouldn't you go to, like, a psychic or something?
Yes.
And, you know, do it the old-fashioned way.
Like Pee-wee Herman did on Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, yeah. Or what was that movie with Matt Damon where he pretended to talk to the dead? Like that.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, remember The Gift where Katie Holmes got topless. That was a talk-to-dead-people movie, too. That was strong.
That was a gift, actually.
That was The Gift, that part of the movie, the whole gift.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back, we'll talk little Texans and NFL with Stanford Rout, former NFL cornerback, former University of Houston cornerback. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Saltgrass Steakhouse in Sugarland. And had a good time out here. Time now. He joins us every week. Talk a little NFL football with our good buddy, former NFL cornerback, Stanford Rout. You can follow him on Twitter at srout, Rout26. What's going on, Stanford?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Man, y'all good?
Hey, can you turn him up in my head? I can't hear him. I'm sorry. What's up? Sorry. How we doing, man?
Oh, no, we're doing great.
Okay, now I can hear you. Well, you're doing better than the Texans are. What the hell was that Thursday night?
Man, that right there was vintage Bill Belichick. And out-coaching his opponent to the best of his ability and making sure that if you beat him, you're going to have to beat him with your left hand. And that's exactly what they did. The Texans just got flat-out out-coached. Yes, did they get outplayed to an extent? Yes, but more so that was just out-coaching. New England just flat-out beat him. Special teams, offense, defense, every which way but loose. But it was mainly, from what I saw, coaching more so than out playing.
How do you bounce back from a game like that? Where frankly, we talked about this on Friday. There were no positives in that football game. There was nothing you could take out of that where you could say, oh, this was good. How do you, as a team, how do you bounce back from something like that?
Games like that, you just got to go ahead and put to bed. You forget about it. You treat it like it was just a bad day. You have a incident or fender bender on the highway. All of a sudden, you hit your fingernail in the doorknob, slamming the door on your finger, something like that. You just treat that as just an all out bad day. It is what it is. Move on. Put it to bed. Don't necessarily all the way just ignore what you did wrong, anything like that. But you can't let games like that linger, because if they go and they play Tennessee this coming weekend and they still have that game in the back of their mind, they'll mess around here and be 2-2 instead of 3-1.
They obviously had trouble with Jacoby Brissett being able to run the football. You've got a guy, a quarterback, who can run the ball a little bit this week. How do you stop a quarterback like that who can move? He doesn't necessarily throw the ball that well, but he can sure move. And they haven't done a good job with this in the past. And I was a little surprised 2 weeks ago that Alex Smith didn't run much, because he's had success doing it in the past. But how do you deal with a quarterback like that, especially if you're in the secondary?
Well, number one, it starts with pressure up front. But it has to be a methodical pressure. A lot of the defensive linemen, they have to stay in their rush lanes. And especially the defensive ends, they got to keep contained, because quarterbacks like that, they love to break the pocket like a Mariota. And you got to contain him within the pass rush, even though you're trying to get to the quarterback. You still have to do it, but you have to do it strategically. A lot of times it helps whenever you have a spy. It'll be a Mike linebacker, inside linebacker, who just basically his entire assignment on that specific play is to spy the quarterback should he try to get out of the pocket. And then as a DB, it makes you have to stay on your man even longer, because quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers, Mariota, guys of that nature who are mobile, they can extend plays. So you go from having to cover for the average of 3.5 seconds to now it may be 6 to 7 seconds, because they're able to extend the play with their legs. So you got to focus even longer, and you got to stay more in your technique as a DB. But also, like I said, it's a team effort. It's a collective effort. It starts with the pass rush, keeping the guy in the pocket, or what we like to call him, in the box, in the phone booth, and then it extends all the way up to the secondary.
I want to ask you about a couple of the teams that have really impressed so far this season, mostly because of what they've done defensively. The Denver Broncos and the Minnesota Vikings, if you looked at their offenses before the season started, you would have said, oh, they're going to struggle. I mean, especially now that Adrian Peterson's out. These teams have been so good defensively that they look great. How long can you live on just that, and at what point are they going to start needing to get consistent offensive production to really keep this going?
Well, I mean, to answer the first question, how long can you live off that? I mean, look at Denver last year. They lived off it all season. Look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back in 2002, Baltimore Ravens back in 2000. So it definitely can happen. And when you have special defenses like the Denver Broncos, I'm not necessarily ready to call the Minnesota Vikings defense special yet, but when you have a special defense like what the Broncos have, you can sustain that throughout the season. But like I said, Trevor Siemian, ever since that first game against the Panthers on Thursday Night Football, I've liked his game. I like his throws. He's got nice velocity. He's not out there just slinging it all over the field, but he's willing to take his shots whenever he sees it being a calculated risk, not necessarily just throwing darts in the dark. So I think that the Denver Broncos will be just fine. Minnesota, they got a nice scheme out there. They play a lot of cover two. They keep everything in front of them. Their front seven is very ferocious. And you got Sam Bradford, who is an accurate passer, albeit he's very injury prone. He's an accurate passer. And I think that he's the perfect fit for that team right now, because they're built around defense. Now, I think that when they get into the Green Bay's later on in the season, I think their offense struggling is going to affect them more so than Denver's, because I think Denver has a special defense, whereas Minnesota just has a really good defense.
Stanford Rout is our guest, joins us every week. He is a former NFL cornerback and also former University of Houston guy. Did you get a chance to watch the Cowboys last night? And we were talking a little bit about Dak Prescott and when Tony Romo comes back. And to me, every game they win without Romo is a bonus. But he's been very efficient protecting the football, and they haven't asked him to do much, but he's done it very well, what they've asked him to do. What are your thoughts on the Cowboys?
Man, I really like that Dak Prescott. I really like him. He seems very poised in the pocket. He does not seem like a rookie in his third game. He seems like a seasoned veteran with how calm, patient, poised he is. He's not making any mistakes. He's making all the right plays, the right throws. Even seems like he's making good checks at the line of scrimmage. Everybody's saying that as soon as Romo comes back that it should still be Dak's team. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that just yet, because I still think that Romo's a better quarterback. Obviously, Romo is much more injury-prone, and he's older and a hell of a lot more expensive. But I think that what Dallas is doing right now, with the way they're playing, they definitely still are giving themselves a chance to be in the thick of things when Romo comes back, if he does this season.
All right, Stanford, as always, we appreciate the opportunity to chat with you, talk a little football. You going to go to the UH game Thursday night?
The game is this weekend on Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh, did not even know that. Man, I'm going to have to go ahead and move some things around, but I'm definitely going to try to go. Yeah. I got to go out there and support my guys, man, because we're going to be in that college football playoff.
Oh, okay.
Didn't you also say the Texans were going to be playing in the Super Bowl at NRG?
Yeah, they were supposed to. They were supposed to crush the sorry Patriots this week. What's wrong with you, Stanford?
Hey, let me ask y'all something. Have they played the Super Bowl yet? Hey, it's still up in the air. Remember last year? Remember the Broncos? They got beat by the Colts. Got beat by a couple teams last year. They still won the big one.
That's true.
Yeah, and it's still up in the air that I might hook up with Scarlett Johansson.
That's all right. True. You've still got time.
It's all right.
You've still got time.
All right, Stanford, appreciate it, man. We will talk to you again next week, buddy.
Okay, man, you got to be good.
All right. We are going to take a very quick break. We come back. We have a Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day about how we're going to stop Skynet from taking over the world. And it's a very humble thing that's going to do it.
Okay.
So I remember War of the Worlds where it was the bacteria that killed him. This is what's going to stop Skynet from taking over.
All right. I need to know.
It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
That's really good, John. Hey, download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. So, all right, let's do this. Time for the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, at some point machines are going to take over, right?
Eventually.
Yeah, we've already got, you know, these things off doing their, like, we have a little iRobot that cleans the floors. It just does it on its own, right?
Yep.
And apparently there's a lot of, there's drones, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Well, apparently there's you can buy a robot lawnmower.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that. You can basically buy a robot lawnmower, turn it on, put it on your lawn, it does all the work. You don't have to push anymore, you don't have to ride anymore. You just let the robot lawnmower chew everything up.
More or less cost effective than the guy I currently pay?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what you're paying, and I don't know how much it costs. I just know that it exists and that people are using them now.
Okay.
But again, shouldn't we be concerned? The more we create things like this, we've got...
I'm not scared of robots. Robots can't do my job. They can do a lot of jobs. They can do
Voldemort's job.
Voldemort's job, yeah. I can do that all the time.
Well, you never know, though. At some
point, with an E.
Yeah. Female Aaron.
Yeah, girl Aaron, who's
really unattractive
with us.
Really unattractive.
Really ugly, has a 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah. She really needs to shave that beard.
Yeah.
But
nice bod, though, right? Relative to the face.
Yeah, well, 18 beers in, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But so apparently someone was mowing their lawn, and... guess what walked up, began stomping on it, and basically destroyed the...
The robot?
The robot.
A dinosaur?
A moose.
Oh.
Now.
Okay, let's just say, for instance, this could have happened to anybody, though, because if I were mowing my lawn with an old-school lawnmower...
The moose probably would have come and stomped on you, too.
And the moose approached, I would abandon the lawnmower... And hide
but
from the moose.
He would have come after you because those things are mean.
Yeah, but I would think he would be after the lawnmower because it's making all that noise.
Maybe. Maybe.
Or I'd pick the lawnmower up and point the blades at him. you know, that might be the only way to stop him.
Well, to me, this is a good thing. This is what's going to stop Skynet from taking over.
Is our moose?
The moose. The lowly moose is going to save us.
Well,
because
sadly, there's no moose here in Texas.
Well, I know. And, you know, it
except that one.
Well, yeah. And what did we do to him?
We killed him.
Yeah. That's his head.
Yeah.
There's a giant moose head up there.
I didn't do it.
But. I didn't either. I want the moose on our side when the, you know, when the machines take over.
Yeah.
Judgment Day comes.
I want a moose head like that, but I don't want to go hunt a moose.
Man, I've been wanting to see one. Yeah, every time I go to Saskatchewan, I'm like, I want to see a moose. I tell everybody, because, oh, yeah, they're up here. You just, I still haven't seen one. So, this
How
weekend,
close do you want to see one?
Well, I just want to see one. I don't want to get close
like
to
from
it.
Like 100 yards away?
Yeah, 200 yards away.
That'd be good. Okay.
I saw a mule deer once that I thought was a moose. I got really excited.
I feel that way about like a grizzly bear.
Yeah, I'd like to see one.
I'd love to see one, but only like from 100 yards away where I'm like inside a house.
Right.
And
well,
I see him out a window.
Because like I'll occasionally I'll go out on their farm. I'll take the four-wheeler out there.
Oh, no, I wouldn't want to see a moose then.
Well, I can outrun him with that. I mean, that thing's pretty quick.
Okay. But what, you're going to run out of gas?
Well, no, I'm not going out there with like a third of a tank.
You're staying charged up.
But guess who has a picture of a moose in her front yard? My mother-in-law this weekend.
Oh, really?
Just walked right up to the house. It's like, great. Every time I go, nothing.
I wouldn't want it that close to the house.
No, I wouldn't either. I'd be firing away at that thing. Oh, well, that's your...
Who would win? Like, if you let your dog out on a moose, what happens? Does the moose kill the dog?
I think the moose will kill the dog, yeah.
Really?
They're pretty mean.
Does it depend on what kind of dog you have?
Like, well, now, if you've got, like, a pit bull might be able to, you know, like a group of pit bulls could probably...
Could take it down?
Yeah.
What about a husky?
I'm gonna say moose minus 300.
Ooh, that's not good odds. What if you have a team of huskies, like if you're running one of those races... And you're approached by a moose, and you've got four dogs to one moose.
Minus 125 moose.
Moose still.
Moose favored, yes.
Mm, okay. I'll take the four huskies in that situation.
Okay. That's your Sad Dog Jewelers Gym of the Day.
Especially if I'm getting
the gym
odds.
Of the day.
You get even money for that.
It's
I'll
the
you,
gym
I'll give
of
plus
the
105.
Day.
How's that?
I'll take that.
The Sad Dog Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Oh, boy. Robert says, automatic lawnmowers remind me of that awful Stephen King movie, Maximum Overdrive. Oh, did you ever see that? Where basically the whatever, I vaguely remember it, but the machine started attacking people. The trucks.
Stephen King movies are so, they're either really good or really, really bad. Like my whole life, every Stephen King book that's been turned into a movie is either.
Usually it's really bad. There's very few that are good.
The Shining is
Shining
great.
Good. Shawshank, fantastic. But that's kind of different because that was a short story.
It was a short story that got turned into. But what about Carrie? Did you like Carrie?
I liked it. I like it, don't love it.
Okay.
I liked it. It's one of those that I didn't.
Christine?
No.
Cujo?
No. That was awful.
No.
The books were good. The books were good.
Right. What about Misery?
Yeah.
I liked the movie. I thought that was a solid movie.
It was okay. I didn't really like it because Kathy Bates creeped me out. And
well, that's the whole point.
I know, but yeah.
And one more. What did you think about Pet Sematary?
Not good.
That was always scary to me when I was a kid. Pet Sematary. Yeah, like
you know what?
It's
I,
so funny. I always watched horror movies with my mom. So I'd watch like Halloween. Like I'm talking about. I'm like a little kid. Like my mom was totally irresponsible letting me watch
my
these
parents
movies
were the same way.
But then I would watch Pet Sematary, and it would freak me out, man. Like, I don't know why, but I'd want our animals buried far away from our house. I didn't like that.
The one that I liked, a lot of people mentioned The Green Mile.
That's a good movie.
That is a good movie. The one that I really liked, and I liked the book better, but I thought the movie didn't suck, was The Dead Zone.
Okay.
With Christopher Walken.
We can agree Shining is the best, though.
I think Shawshank's the best. But
I don't know if I count that, though.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like Green Mile. It's like Stand By Me. I'm not sure I count those because they're not really Stephen King. I mean, they're Stephen King, but, I mean, they're not in the same genre as Shining and those others. So, oh, well. You know what? I haven't had a few beers out here, but if I had.
If you had and you had to drive home.
Yeah, and I got pulled over.
You'd be within your rights to drive home, by the way. You have a couple beers with dinner. There's no laws that say you can't do that. But sometimes the police will pull you over. They'll accuse you of DWI. And if you fail those tests that they give you, it's bad news. The good news is those tests that they give you are faulty. They're inaccurate. And most juries are smart enough to figure that out. And that's where Gary Trichter comes in. If your weekend sucked because of a DWI arrest, don't despair. There's still hope, even if you failed those tests the police gave you. Those tests, they're inaccurate. They're unreliable. Police breath test machines aren't even warranted fit for testing. They make temperature assumptions that create artificially high results and destroy the evidence that it checked, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. And same with the blood test. Not the end of the world to fail that thing. First of all, they're not testing your blood. They're testing the air above it. It's very indirect, very circumstantial. And police forensic capabilities aren't like CSI on television. It's not a lab with a bunch of doctors trying to figure this out. That's not how it works. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist right here in Houston. He's experienced in telling the truth about those tests. He's one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, call Attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Gary Trichter. Got the hiccups.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.